What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Back on the Boss Man Show, going to Spartanburg, South Carolina, up to Wofford, the Terriers. Coach Dwight Perry here will be on the Boss Man Show. Coach Perry, how does it look up there in Spartanburg, my brother?
It's doing well. It's doing well. I just got back from Las Vegas, recruiting and watching a couple of our former players in Summer League. So, you know, compared to 118 degree heat, you know, this 75, 80, I feel pretty good.
I was in Vegas as well with some league covering the Hawks, man. So, yeah, that heat out there was different.
It's different. You were 100% right. There's not a lot of humidity like it is in the South, but it's still hot.
Yeah, 118 and 115 is 118 and 115. And no matter how you slice it up, brother. You know how.
No question.
Yes, indeed. Well, man, let me ask you, man, how's it feel, man, to be in this big chair, man? I know you got the job last year in the middle season as an interim coach. They ended up keeping you. So how's that process, man, trying to keep team together, you know, and not focus on your own personal career-wise, but focus on the team to get those 12 wins despite what went on behind the scenes?
No, it was, first, obviously, definitely fortunate. It feels really good to be have that full-time head coaching title. To your point, you know, that was when we took over, obviously, like you just mentioned, there's a lot going on, you know, a lot of stuff behind the scenes out in the open that you're just trying to figure out. And so, you know, myself and the rest of the staff, our number one thing was, you know, from now, right at the time when I took over to the very last game, we were just going to focus on the guys and just be there for them, right, mentally, emotionally, physically, whatever they needed. And so in some ways, it kind of, It was pretty helpful because you were able to kind of streamline and focus on just what's most important, which is those guys and being there for them. And obviously when the season ended, you know, I think that's kind of some of the anxiety starts to kick in and you're starting to wonder, like, you know, am I going to be here as, you know, as my family, my wife and our two kids, are we going to have to move? You know, you don't know what's next. And, you know, when I was finally named the head coach, it was definitely a relief for myself and the rest of the staff. So, you know, now with our whole entire program, we can kind of move forward. And I think we have some great things ahead of us.
100%. Let me ask you this, Coach Perry. Like, I know when I was a co-host of a radio show, I was thinking about how I became the head dude in charge, have my own show. So for you, being loyal to the guys who you work for, but
yeah,
how did you kind of prepare in your mind for this opportunity that's arise for you right now?
100%. I mean, that's a great question. I think, you know, a lot of the people that I've worked for in the past, I think everyone always says, right, you have to prepare to be a head coach before you're a head coach. And so, you know, throughout the whole, you know, season, every year, in your mind, you're saying, okay, this, you know, how would I handle this situation? Not that, you know, you're second guessing anybody, but in your mind, you're trying to understand, right? And put your spin on things of how you as a head coach, you think you would handle those in the moment. And as we all know, right, it's easy to say that of how you would do and what you would do and what you would say. But, you know, when you're in it and stuff is really going on and you have to make those decisions, sometimes quick, sometimes obviously really hard, right? That's when you truly can get a chance to actually do it. And so as prepared as I thought I was, it's still different and it's still on another level, right? When, especially for my situation, you know, now we have the off season, we have spring, we have summer, we have preseason, we have non-conference and we have conference. You know, when we took over in the transition, I mean, we were right there in the middle of the year and there's no like, hey, 2 or 3 weeks to get going from the time the, you know, decision was made that the former head coach is on leave to our next game. It was literally 24 hours and we were playing in a game, so much so that we didn't even actually have a practice preparing for the team we played, you know, in our first game. But, you know, it kind of goes back to what I was saying before. That's not what our players needed, right? Our guys, they understood how to play defense. They understood the plays. If we were going to have any success in that game, it wasn't going to have anything to do with, you know, any of the plays and any of the walkthrough and shoot around that we did. And I honestly think that's a big reason why we were able to win that very first game is, you know, emotionally and mentally, our guys were able to kind of take a step back and not be so basketball. And they were able to just breathe and honestly just be normal and process stuff. And I honestly thought that was a pretty good lesson that I learned right then and there that I've kind of tried to come back to at certain times, because I think it's really easy to get so fixated on what's next and what do we got to do and what do we got to prepare for that you kind of lose sight of the most important thing, which is guys have to be able to play free, you know, be in a good space mentally and emotionally to be happy and have energy. And that makes up way more for the knowledge that, you know, as coaches, we want to try to make them have.
I think you kind of brought me back to some memories of my career. I know when I was a backup and I wasn't a starter, or when I was a starter but other guys was out, how those guys stepped up. Because I know when I was a backup, I just wanted to get out there and play. I wasn't worrying about when we all played to more together because certain guy was out who dominated the ball, right? We all had the ball moving and hopping. We wasn't worrying about it. We just wanted to play. So You're right. When things have to be injuries, adversity happens, guys are out or something, you usually do play freer for those guys who are the backups, or after it's all over, you just worry about, you go out there and play. Like, we all play. We love to play ball. Yep. So, yeah. So what you said makes a lot of sense. I know in my career, I saw what happened on both ends.
Yep, 100%. It's, You can't underestimate the value of guys being able to play free. And that's something that we stress a lot, you know, in the recruiting process and with our current guys. Like, you're going to make mistakes and you can't go out there and trying to play mistake-free basketball. Mistakes are going to happen. As long as you're playing hard, as long as you're being mentally and physically tough, and we're, like you just said, the ball's moving and we're trying to play together. Like, the only time, honestly, as a staff, we're ever going to get mad as a head coach, the most I ever get mad at guys is when they pass up shots that I think they should shoot. No, that's when I get frustrated. I want guys to shoot more, especially when it's their type of shots. I don't want them out there over like second guessing. And, you know, if you've been around sports and you've been around basketball, we've all played for those coaches where you shoot a shot and if it doesn't go in, you're kind of looking at the sideline, you're looking at the bench, this guy's going to react. You know, you make a mistake, you're seeing like, what's coach going to look like? I knew kind of to your question earlier, as an assistant and playing, if I was ever fortunate enough to be a head coach, like that was something that really stuck out to me. If I get that opportunity, I don't want guys that are out there playing, looking over to the bench when they make a mistake or they shoot a bad shot. I want them truly being free.
Nah, you're right, man. I remember in high school, like as freshman, sophomore, I knew I didn't make my first 2 or 3 shots or whatever, I wouldn't make them see the court the rest of the night. Yeah. But as a junior and senior, I had latitude. So I don't think that was right, but still.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, if you didn't come off the bench warm or make an impact, he was going to show the rotation since the second half. He wasn't going to play.
Yep. No question.
What you say, I lived. What you say, I lived. Like, yeah, man. Like, that's a good thing to know when you take a shot, or it's a good shot, you miss it, yeah, you still might get yanked and pulled.
No question. It's that's one of those deals, like you said, we've all lived it at some point in our career.
No doubt, man. Tell you about the workouts you've been having, man. Having your spring and summer, having guys on campus kind of become more one. I know Coach Perry, when I was in the summertime, I was more accountable to my teammates. When I'm by myself, I'm just going I might loaf a little bit, right? I'm just being real about it. But you with your teammates, you hold you accountable for the win sprints and making your shots, doing your individual work. And also, it can get you where you don't have to coach the effort and energy. If you have a player-led team holding you accountable, that's what the last thing you do is coach energy and effort, which you don't want to do as a head coach.
No question. I mean, what you just said is spot on. Like, we have having a player-led team, that's crucial. So right off the bat, you know, there's two things I think that are very unique for us, at least, or I feel like give us a great advantage. And number one, the player-led piece is important. No matter what we're doing, whether it's team, whether it's individual stuff, outside of that, I mean, there's not a day that comes by that we don't have 3 or 4 or 5 guys in the gym before 8:30. And that's nothing that the coaches are doing. That's player-led. Guys are getting in here on their own. They're bringing teammates with them. Like you just said, like they're holding each other accountable. And the great part is it's not forced. It's not like that's something we're making them do. They genuinely want to do that. And we all know, I mean, as much as you can make someone be in the gym, you're only getting out of that person but so much compared to if they're going to the gym and they're there for the same amount of time, but they're there because they truly want to be there, right? It's night and day, right? The production you're going to get from that person. Same thing in work, right? We all know if we have to be somewhere because the boss says we have to be there versus if we genuinely want to be there, you're going to be a way more productive person because if it's internally what you want to do. And that doesn't change just because it's basketball. And I think the second piece for us, you know, with the way the rules have changed here recently in the summer, we're still allowed to do team activities on the court. And we still do have a component of that, but a big part, and I genuinely believe it's a big reason why we are really, really great at the skill development and player development piece in our program, is even in the summer, you know, it's not like it's just all team stuff, right? For us, when the season starts in the fall, from basically October all the way to March, we're very team-oriented, right? Whether it's 5-on-5, whether it's offense, defense, it's team-oriented. But in the offseason, like you just spoke to, we're just trying to get guys individually better. And for us, right, if we can get you individually better just by 10%, and I can get better individually 10%, and the next guy and the next guy, right, that alone makes our whole team better. Even if we're not getting better in the team dynamic setting in a 5-on-5, just this one person working on a certain part of their game, just getting incrementally better. And then you times that by 4 years, I think the proof is in the pudding with where the guys we have coming in. Some are great coming in out of high school. Some, right, are probably not as great. But the reality is when they leave here, they're all great players for the most part. And I think a large part of that goes to our players and the work they're putting in. But another component of that, I think, is the skill development piece that we really try to hone in on.
And Coach Perry, how much is the new landscape here with the transfer portal NIL where you develop a stud player and then those big boys come kind of pick them off, like use you as like the farm system pretty much. So how do you balance that off? But also you can get better high school guys than two big guys, Power 5 guys aren't looking for the high school players anymore. So how do you kind of balance that those two competing dynamics we got going on college basketball right now?
It's tough. I tell you what, if you have the actual true real answer to that, everyone needs to stop what they're doing. Whoever has it needs to go and pick the Powerball first off. That's right off the bat, because you need to get a lottery ticket if you know the true answer to that. I think it's an inexact science, right? It's way more a feel and nuance, because I think the reality is you have to be creative. I think it's really tricky to be all or none. I think, you know, where you get into trouble if you say, I'm only going to recruit transfers. I'm not recruiting any high school kids. I think, you know, there's definitely disadvantages to that, and you miss out on some really good kids that fit your program. And then if you swing the other way and say, right, I'm only recruiting high school kids, I'm not recruiting any transfers, again, as we all know, there are situations where it is probably beneficial for both parties for a kid to transfer, right? All transfers are not bad. We all know that. And so I think the most important thing goes back to we try to find guys that are great fits for Wofford. And that's not going to be the same as a kid that'd be a great fit at another school, whether that's high major, mid-major, right, in the Southeast, Midwest, West Coast. All we can do is identify kids that we know fit us. And then once we get them here, I think, again, all we can do and all you can try to do is try to provide the best opportunity and best environment for them. We're going to be around them. We're going to push them in a healthy way to be better as men, number one. We're going to help them in the classroom. And then, like I already spoke on, we're going to provide them with a phenomenal blueprint of a skill development piece, and we're going to go for championships. And what comes after that, again, like, you can only control what you can control. And I think for us, as we continue to move forward, I think the environment that we continue to create and foster, I think that is going to prove to be a really conducive environment for kids to have a lot of success here.
Now, Coach, like you said, you can't really go all young because dudes are like 25, 27 years old playing.
Oh, man.
That's like a grown man versus the kids. So you really, those who have, I feel bad for the schools and some of your conference who have to recruit high school kids, because I'm like, so many dudes almost 30 years old out here.
Oh, man.
18, 19. That kid gonna get destroyed just by, because that has a real grown man. So it's like, so you really can't go all young.
It's, but I know it's some tough. I feel bad. I genuinely feel bad, because there's a lot of really good high school players, right, at all levels that are getting boxed out of being able to play at the Division I level because of just the numbers game, right, that is college basketball right now with transfers. Same with junior college players, right? As we all know, and therein lies the tough part about everyone's job. And, you know, it's, I genuinely feel for high school players and the coaches, because I think there's a lot of good talent right now that is just not getting the opportunity to play at the Division I level.
And I'm thinking, this is my thinking out loud. I think, Coach, that you may agree with this as well. Once the COVID year people wash out,
yeah,
it may improve a little bit more that after they wash out, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, just like you said, just off the sheer amount of numbers of kids that are in college basketball right now, with COVID, they're just able to stay in college basketball, whether going up or going down. But once that changes, I definitely think that'll help some. I would agree with you on that.
And Coach, let me ask you, man, about your scheduling. I know you probably have to get bought a few times. You're in SoCon, but how tough is scheduling when Wofford has generally been good and trying to get guys to come play you in Spartanburg because they don't want to come there and take a loss? So you're doing like more two-for-ones, home and homes, MTEs. How tough is trying to put that puzzle together, free SoCon play, man?
It's real tough. You know, everyone, I think a old adage is obviously recruiting is the most important part of college basketball, and scheduling is probably number two. And to your point, it's hard. Obviously, the success the program has had over the years, it speaks for itself with the teams we've beaten at all different levels, right? From Texas A&M last year, we're the only team to beat them at Texas A&M, right, in or out of conference. And obviously, all the other high majors that we've beaten in the past. It's tricky, because when you factor in certain schools for different reasons, whether perceptionally, whether geographically, don't want to play you necessarily, or sometimes they do, and you know the dates don't work out on our end or their end. It definitely can be a puzzle that's tough to put together. But you know, having said that, I think we put together a really good schedule. We have some really good teams. We're obviously at the tail end of processing and finalizing that. But I think combined with our MTE of where we're going, we'll actually be going to an MTE out of the country, and then some high major teams that we get a chance to play that have some Wofford ties. I actually think it's going to be a pretty exciting and a really good schedule that's going to test us, allow our guys to play in some cool venues, great atmospheres, and have us ready for a championship run in the SoCon.
That's one for you, Coach, man. No, on this show, man, we're foodies on this show. We love foodies. So tell me some cool spots to eat in Spartanburg, South Carolina, man, that you and your staff love to hit up, man.
Yeah. I mean, if you know me, you know I love food. And unfortunately, it's probably not the healthiest of options.
Same here.
So if you're looking for healthy, gluten-free, dairy-free, vegan spots, that's definitely my wife. She will be able to point you in the right direction. But there's a lot of great spots. You know, Wade's, which is right up the street from us, is really good. Cribs, Southern Kitchen is really good. You can't go wrong with either one of those. If you really, you know, you want to get into a really nice steak, you can't go wrong at the Peddlers. But there's a lot of really good spots here. And unfortunately, people at each of those establishments probably know me pretty well right now.
No doubt. I got to tell you before you go, Coach, man, like Atlanta just got a Whataburger and an In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah.
Coach, I'm going to tell you, I saw that there are police and security directing you into the Whataburger and In-N-Out Burger. I'm like, this is crazy, man. Like, wow. I ain't never seen – I knew it happened at Chick-fil-A. Then when they had a Popeye sandwich come out. But yeah. Whataburger, we got security directing you into the Whataburger and In-N-Out Burger to go to the drive-thru. And I'm like, I see it all now.
No question. That's crazy. I tell you what, you can't go wrong with a lot of food spots in Atlanta, that's for sure.
No doubt, man. No doubt. Well, Coach Perry, man, thank you for your time today, brother. I'm getting your number offline so I can see if they in contact with you, brother. But I'm here for you to cheer for you, man. I love to support Wofford, man. And anything you need from me, well, it's been close to Atlanta, man. And you've been close to us. So we'd love to help you get some players come up there to play for you, man. I know you're a good brother, man. And I can tell you up there, great. I talk to somebody, this is, I'm older than this. Stay here, though.
Absolutely.
It's all good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love it. We love Atlanta. Georgia kids have always done well here. So we definitely like hitting. We definitely like hitting Atlanta for sure.
No doubt. Cole, thanks for your time today, brother. We'll do this again real soon, my guy.
Sounds good.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline. When the game starts. What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 105.5 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.